about it.
Bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Emily Minnie. Face masks are once again being made compulsory on public transport in New South Wales, with the latest coronavirus outbreak in that state now standing at 5. The latest positive case is a man in his 50s who attended the Bondi Junction Westfield outlet in Sydney's eastern suburbs. Masks will be mandatory on public transport in the Greater Sydney region and are highly recommended in indoor settings. Premier Gladys Berejiklian has urged against complacency to avoid further restrictions.
But obviously we're closely monitoring the situation. We want everybody, as they've done in the past, the New South Wales way, to follow our advice, to be sensible, not to cut corners, and to appreciate that when all of us do the right thing, we keep all of us safe and we're able to keep everything open.
Victoria has recorded one new local coronavirus case as restrictions across the state ease. The new infection is a close contact of an existing case. The 25-kilometre travel limit will be lifted, allowing travel between the city and regional areas, and masks will no longer be mandatory outdoors. New South Wales health authorities have been unable to determine whether a man in his 40s who visited the ACT was a false positive. The case was reported yesterday and has put Canberra on high alert. And coronavirus deaths worldwide have surpassed 4 million. Woolworths is facing legal action for allegedly underpaying its managers, with the workplace watchdog hunting close to $750,000 in outstanding back pay. Erin Archer reports.
The Fair Work Ombudsman is taking the supermarket giant to the federal court over claims it underpaid 70 salaried managers, upwards of $1.1 million. The regulator claims about three-quarters of that money has not been returned to the employees. Woolworths revealed it had underpaid thousands of employees in 2019. The Ombudsman alleges the most significant underpayments were in overtime entitlements.
South Australia is gearing up to welcome international students back into the state after the federal government approved a purpose quarantine hub. The hub is based at Parafield Airport in Adelaide's north and will allow students to complete their mandatory two-week quarantine. The hub will host up to 160 students. International students contribute more than $2 billion to the education sector, and the development of the quarantine hubs has been welcomed by both state and federal government officials. In tennis, Austria's Dominic Thiem has withdrawn from the Olympics, saying he does not feel ready to give his best in Tokyo. But he'll still compete at Wimbledon this month and defend his US Open title later this year. The world number 5 has endured a torrid season with a 9-8 win-loss record in 2021. A French Open finalist in 2018 and 2019, Thiem was knocked out in the first round at Roland Garros this year. The 27-year-old says he had discussed his situation with his team and described withdrawing from the Olympics as a very difficult decision. And an AFL star midfielder, Zach Merritt, said he decided on re-signing with Essendon on a monster six-year deal as far back as early May. The dual best and fairest winner was one of the biggest names in AFL free agency this year, but shunned rival offers to remain with the Bombers until the end of 2027.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
And now,
now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 7 minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5, your sound, your community. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And currently we're sitting at 17 and a half degrees, quite a sunny afternoon out there. It's going to be a mostly sunny day as well, tops of 19 degrees. A wet weekend coming up, both Saturday and Sunday, tops of 17 degrees and showers on both days.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
In Kangaroo Valley, Moss Vale Road between Walker's Lane and Kangaroo Valley Road, has been a hazard, a fallen tree. Traffic affected in both directions. Emergency services have attended the situation, reduced the speed and exercise caution around there. Good afternoon and welcome to Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Mario, how are you feeling today?
Not bad, Matt. Yourself?
Good, man.
I can see that our guests are nice and comfy. You know, just said so. You know, to all our listeners, as you know, that every Friday I'm just more and more surprised with my partner in crime, Matt, because, you know, I'm looking for the extra jacket. He's getting short sleeves. Like, I'm not sure what is happening here with the weather, but I'm pretty sure that our guest is going to share with us some insights, you know, why they have the long sleeves as well. So it's a Friday. And as you know, the mask's going to be now, it's a mandatory from today by New South Wales Health. So stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll catch up with you. Like, thank you for the listening news. Thank you for tuning in live 90.5 Business Insights with Matt and Mario. We'll take a short break and introduce our guests.
That sounds good.
Sounds good. I know, you sound good, man. You sound good, man.
Alive 90.5.
Looked in your eyes and I knew it was over. Told me you tried to put your hand on my shoulder. Don't touch me. I don't want your pity. Crazy in love, we would play it on repeat. Told me I was your B and you were my Jay-Z. You call time, gave me no warning sign. I'm wearing, yeah, I'm still wearing your jeans. Still roll them up, still got that hole in the knee. I bought into the dream that you sold me when you told me. Up your first car. I didn't care that it came from a junkyard. Sunday dress. You were my ride or die. Jokes on me.
Jokes on me, yeah.
The Hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
Alive
90.5. Hi, Alan Barnes from Dural Pool Shop. A couple of thoughts about the importance of year-round maintenance. Keep your pool clean and clear. The perfect time to call us for friendly advice and help is now. We come to you, no job too big or small. We have all the chemicals and parts. Come and see us at New Line Road, Dural, opposite the Vicar Pub. Be sure to check our website at duralpoolshop.com.au. See how we can make swimming more enjoyable.
A proud station sponsor.
Penny's Crispy Pork Crackling is slow cooked for that big crunch and taste. Put some crunch in your munch. As a 100% Australian-owned business, Penny's Crispy Pork Crackling have been supplying deliciously crispy snacks in three crunch-tastic flavours, barbecue, chilli and original, to pubs, bottle shops, grocers and butchers in the Hills District. Order some now by visiting our website at pennyscrackling.com.au, spelt with a Y, or calling 02 8068 9664.
Station sponsor.
Are you feeling out of breath, or do you have a lingering cough? This is not normal. Lung disease affects almost one in three Australians. Take 2 minutes to check your lung health today. Visit lungfoundation.com.au/check.
It's 13 minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And Mario, our guests are in studio. I'm excited to get them on board.
Well, you know, that's true, tremendous gentleman today with us in the studio. One is going to, you know, we're going to need him more than other one, but he's going to need other one more than other one. So the both are doing their equally important jobs. You know, you're going to finish in jail sooner or later, or, you know, you're going to need a good lawyer. So like, you know, when you talk about cybersecurity and the streamlining that your cyber operations, there's another guest, but let's go start with the first one, Matt. And we have another Matt in the studio, Matt Koopman. Matt, welcome to the studio.
Thank
and
you
Kamal,
so much.
Kamal, welcome to the studio. We need to give you the mic, eh? You can talk, eh? So like that's
thank you.
You're welcome. So Matt, for our listeners, you know, do you mind just share with us, you know, who's Matt? Because, you know, you had a very, very interesting background, and you know, you've been from Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, France, Slovakia, Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, and Saudi Arabia. So what was the life of 007?
I don't think it is quite as exclusive as 007. I always say, like, as soon as the tax man finds me, I try to move.
So that's the
smart man.
I've been in Australia for 14 years, 15 years now. So you see how the ATO is doing with me, right?
Yeah.
No, but all seriously, I've lived in a number of countries, also done projects in all those countries as well. I've been very lucky. It's my background is business applications. So I actually help businesses make sense of the software they use to get things done in the systems. Because if you look at business itself and you do a business reporting, we all want to know how we do. The business report is the information you extract out of your business data. Your business data doesn't lie. You report, you know the saying, you have lies, damn lies and statistics. What is underneath there is the data. The data doesn't lie, right? And your applications, the way you set it up, that actually generates the data. So that's my background. I've been doing that actually much longer than I dare to admit. 28 years coming up.
So and a veteran.
You see the gray hairs, right? And I got the scars as well. So you learn by falling down, especially when you're young and you think you can do everything. That's when you make the mistakes, and then you get old and you go like, well, maybe I can't do these things. I need help. And that's when you actually get better. So it's going inverse with your confidence, and then your confidence builds up again over your career. Now, I've been doing it for 28 years, so I'm quite confident of where things are at, but there's so much new technology going out there, so much new things, so many new things coming in. And we are still trying to make sense. Okay, but what is this actually really going to do for business, right? What is this really going to do? So if you asked like 4 or 5 years ago in marketing, everything was digital. Everything was, oh, social media. That's the only marketing we're going to do. You look now at it, it's like, actually, that's changing. Because there's so much marketing out there. You're like that little grain of sand that's being blown away by the sandstorm. How are your customers picking you out? Because everybody is doing that. Everybody is going on social media. Everybody's doing the email drops, right? What you see now in the email providers, for instance, they're actually saying, well, if you're a newsletter, we're going to put you in a separate folder because you're not really inbox material. So a lot of these newsletters, they go out like, hey, I got so many subscribers. Yeah, but how many people actually read it? Right? So we're still trying to make sense of, like, where is this really going? Where's the real value in this? Right? So take, for instance, the data point. I got X number of followers. 100,000 followers on platform X. Okay, that's great. How many of those followers buy from you? How many of those followers influence other people to buy from you? Those are metrics that actually matter in your business, because then you go down into the bottom line. Everything you do has to have some value and value to your clients. If it doesn't have value to your clients, that doesn't then immediately translate also to value in your bottom line, because that's what we do, right? We exchange value for money.
That's, wow, okay. And so do you have many people coming to you where it's like, well, I've got this many followers, I've got this, I've got that, I've got all these things to prove myself, but why is my business doing bad? You must see it a lot.
Well, it's actually, they're not asking that question, because that is cognitive dissonance, right? Like, well, I got so many followers, so my business is not doing bad, right? So you get the cognitive dissonance kicking in, like, I can't be doing bad because I'm so great. And actually, you look at, well, you need to start measuring different things, right? If you look at, I'm not saying you shouldn't get followers. You shouldn't be on social media. Maybe you should be. But you have to have a reason why. If your reason is, oh, because I need to have more followers. Okay, you meet that goal, and now what? Right? It's like you cross the road. Why? Because I want to be on the other side. And then what? You need to have an end goal. Why did you cross the road? Why do you have so many followers? Okay, well, here's my brand strategy. Right? I have so many followers because X percent of them will buy my services. Or my followers, because for instance, business to consumer is very important in that aspect, right? It's like they are influencing other people to buy my services. And that is exponentially, you build your channel. But if you don't have those goals, just saying like, hey, I got so many followers, look at how great I am. That's where it stops. It inflates your ego, but not your bottom line.
Yeah,
the last time I checked, the influencers, you know what they're doing now? The advertising vaccine, you know what I mean? Like, I just saw the Ariana Grande and other guys, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing the... So, you know, obviously, there's a power on social media, which we need to assess properly and analyze who is our followers and, you know, like, who is actually buying the product from us in terms of, it's not every follower, our particular, the customer. Is that correct, Matt?
It's correct. You get a downstream from the followers. Okay. To be a proper the other word, thought leader, right? I want to be a thought leader. What is a thought leader? The first thing you have to have is an original thought, right? So if you say that you're a thought leader and you're repeating what other people say, you're not a thought leader, right?
Yeah.
You're just an amplifier. So
thought whisperer.
So, yes.
So, but to become a leader, what you need to do first?
So you need to have followers. Yeah. A leader, what makes a leader is people that follow them. Yeah. Right, so if you're looking like, for instance, Ariana Grande saying, hey, I'm an influencer, I'm going to influence people to do something,
yeah,
she may have an audience, right? But I look like, okay, let's say it's the vaccines.
Yeah.
Do I trust you to have a medical opinion? Do you have the data?
You should trust me, right? Matt. We know everything.
You are trusted, but I'm talking about a singer.
What our second guest, right? Kamal, is like, if for the negligence, he's here. Like, you know, so we can say whatever we want. But look,
if someone tries to be an influencer on something,
yeah,
the first thing we tend to do is like, oh, great, that is a great rock star or a soccer player. Or it's European soccer, right?
So yes, we always said that in the morning. Yeah.
It's someone that I look up to. But is it someone I look up to for this? If someone is a great guitar player, do I trust you on investment advice? Maybe not, right?
It comes down to brand management, right?
It comes down to brand management. If your brand is I'm a singer, fantastic, and you'll influence some people. But from where I'm looking at in the market that I'm in, is if you want to be an influence marketer, you need to make sure that you stay on that brand, because otherwise people, you're just, you know, touting things for money.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. You're just getting paid and you just say a message. So basically you're like the dummy on like a ventriloquist, right? My lips move, but it's someone else speaking.
that's me and Matt, you know. I'm just moving my lips, and Matt who talks proper English. But let's go now swing to the right to our second guest, you know, Matt, which is a friend of Matt Karana, good my friend and my partner in crime. So Kamal, welcome to the studio, and for our listeners, do you mind just introduce yourself?
Sure, thank you.
That was enough for you. We take a short break now. So
thank you for having me here. Yeah, my name is Kamal Boutros. I've been started my law career since 2001. I got admitted with the Supreme Court, and I've been on my own since 2010.
Okay.
So under my own firm.
Yep.
And I'm a general practice. A bit of crime, conveyancing, family, commercial law, and some immigration.
I'm just curious now, you know, okay, we don't talk about lawyers on a daily basis, except when we need them.
Exactly.
When we need them. So how do you feel when somebody walks inside of your office, you know, and then say, like, look, I need your help. You say, like, you're another 1,000 ones, you know, right? But nobody talks about lawyers except when we need them.
No, I said, sure, please come in and, make it feel welcome and just sit and listen. A lot of people come with, there's a emotional side to most cases, whether it's family law or immigration or they're buying a house or it's all about emotion. Or
it's all about emotions, yeah.
Oh, or if they feel that they've been ripped off and they want to sue someone or vice versa, they've been sued. It's all about emotion, and as lawyers, we are supposed to try and let them leave the emotion and look at the real facts and the real situation.
So how do you empty, like, you know, I try to be in you for the brief moment, right? Because you don't see just one person per day. Even if you see one person per day, you go on the court for this mother client of yours. How do you separate your emotions or your involvement, you know, mentally from client to the court?
Okay. Before I became a lawyer, I was in welfare and social work. And part of the training is that you empathize with the client, not sympathize. So empathize, you put your shoes, yourself in the client's shoes, and you try and help them that way, but rather than sympathy, where you get emotionally drained into the actual case, and then you lose track of what's important, and that's helping the client. So lawyers or anybody that's in the service industry that does this, they fall into the trap, and they can take those problems home, and then ultimately burn out. So in my career, obviously, I avoid that at all costs, and always bringing the client to a situation where, okay, this is it. This is what you need to do. Forget about the emotion. Forget what she did to you. Forget what he did. And yes, I understand. It's not a pleasant experience. But if you say, like, a lot of clients would come and say, but it's the matter of the principle, or I want to teach them a lesson.
That's the emotion kicking in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So do you realize that you're going to spend an extra $50,000 to $60,000 trying to teach them that lesson? Yeah. Is it worth it? And the only gain is the lawyer. So we try and say, well,
see, this is the first time I've heard somebody says this. You know, like, I, you know, we're preparing a lot of cases for the law firms and, you know, my business. And, you know, I know that when we go to do, you know, the witnesses, you know, we see the witness box and everything else. You know, I never heard a lawyer say to lawyers, you know, we're the only winners. You know, everybody says my client is a winner, my client is a winner. I'm like, you know, really, don't you agree, Matt? Who gets the fattest check here? The lawyers.
The lawyers, exactly.
The lawyers, you know what I mean? So let's go be a little bit empathic and sympathetic to each other, you and I, Matt. And let's go take a short break. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights. Matt and Mario, our guest in studio is Kamal Boutros and Matt Koopman. And we'll take a short break.
Alive 90.5.
Smooth like butter, like a criminal undercover. Don't pop like trouble, breaking into your heart like that.
Cool shade stunner, yeah, owe it all to my mother. Hot like summer, yeah, I'm making you sweat like that.
Break it down.
Ooh, when I look in the mirror, I'll melt your heart into two. I got the superstar glow, so
ooh, do the boogie.
Side step right left to my beat.
Term 2 courses are open for enrolments at the Parramatta College, and they currently have a special double discounts promotion on eligible courses, which includes languages, leisure and lifestyle, computer skills, business and work skills. They also offer various nationally accredited courses fee-free. This training is subsidised by the New South Wales Government. Ready to rock and roll? Call the Parramatta College on 9687 2072. That's 9687 2072. Visit parramattacollege.edu.au for further information. T's and C's and eligibility criteria applies. Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02882 9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
And my name is Matt Caruana. I'm the most sexiest guy on the planet. Come to my Facebook page, Matt Caruana, and you're going to enjoy. Now, about me, sexiest voice of this studio, Money Beckers. I'm glad that our two guests in studio from Aurelian Group, Matt Koopman and Kamal Putros, if I don't pronounce properly surname yours, I apologize. Matt, any questions for any other guests you have, or I'll shoot it first?
I do. So, Matt, I'm curious. You're not on Facebook.
I am not on Facebook. I am also not on Twitter. And I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on WhatsApp. The only social media that I still have is LinkedIn, and I'm actually not that often on it.
So how do you reach people? Help other people reach people?
Okay, so my business is 90% referrals.
It's basically that's good quality business.
One client going to several other people saying, hey, I use this. You need to use that. And I'm absolutely blessed. I got fantastic clients, right? It's just, you count your blessings every single day.
Except that Mario Beckers doesn't pay the bills last month.
Honestly, I have not a single client that they go like, oh, I have to work with them again. It just doesn't exist. But for me, it's not about rapid growth and all this stuff, because businesses that start out, now I just got in my fourth anniversary, right? So in this business, I left Microsoft in 2017.
Can you tell us your career? So what was your career?
Very first job was at IBM, doing the dishes.
Doing the dishes?
Yes, I was washing the dishes at IBM in the catering.
are you for real now?
For real. I think I was 14 or 15 years old.
And you're originally from the Netherlands, right?
I'm originally from the Netherlands. So obviously I get up very early these weeks because there's the European Soccer Championship going on.
Don't you worry,
Netherlands is playing, which is good. I'm actually the only Australian, because I have been Australianified. I am an Aussie, right? Yeah. I'm the only Australian that actually has a soccer injury from the Euro Cup this year. Because it was early in the morning, it's cold in the house, so I have my hands in my jacket, and then the Netherlands scores. I want to celebrate. Yes, I raised my hands, but my thumb got stuck. And I dislocated my thumb. Lucky. So I have a soccer injury from the European Cup here in Australia. I'm the only one.
That's the first injury I've heard of people watching soccer.
Yes, yes. I'm very active.
So, you started washing dishes in IBM, and then...
That was a summer job. I was 14 or 15 years old, so I was quite young. I've worked in gardening. I've done factory work. I landed my first job when I was in uni. I was selling computers in a retail store. And I was actually applying for the job. And he said, what do you know about computers? I said, well, I know they have an on and off button, but that's about all, right? This is like 1990, something like that. I knew nothing about them.
Those are computers then?
Yeah, the computers, yeah. And I was waiting for my first day at work, and someone stands next to me, starts explaining me how great that computer is in front of the window of the store, and the store manager wasn't there yet, so I just listened, right?
Yeah.
And then we went into the store, and he bought a computer from me. The next person came into the store, and I start saying exactly the same thing as you just heard. I had no idea what I was talking about. He said, oh, that all sounds good. Oh, shall I get it up for you? Yeah, can you check if it's in stock? So I bring up the boxes, because that's when people feel guilty that you have to bring it all back. So I was the number 5 salesperson in the country. that had no idea what computers were, right? I just like, I have a machine, I could switch it on, that's about it. And then you started, but I started getting interested in that. Yeah. So, and I've worked in the Dutch distillery, it was a subsidiary of the famous Dutch beer.
Yeah.
They make the strong liquor. And I was in the supply chain, and that's where I went with the first application going live 28 years ago, which was supply chain planning system for, I think it was bottle caps and bottles to put it into the bottles. And amazing, if that went wrong, I think the entire world would be very cross with me.
So Kamal, yourself, eh? How did you start a career? You said like, you know, welfare and social line of work, but how did you start this being the lawyer?
Start as a lawyer?
Your entire career.
Okay, so I started in a similar job to my friend Matt. I was a trolley boy in a fruit market.
Okay.
And I was about 14, 15 then. And I would go around and collect trolleys from the streets and from the car park, and then push them up a ramp. And
what would you think about people who left the trolleys on the street? Some of
it made me very angry. I had to go and get every single one.
Well, without them, you didn't have a job.
Well,
hey, that's a good point.
That's another point. And I remember my first pay packet. I went and bought a lounge for my mum.
Oh, nice!
So I said, wow.
So that was it was amazing. Feeling then, but yeah, so that was my first ever job.
Yeah.
And so what inspired law?
Yeah.
And where'd that come from?
I bet TV shows or something like this.
I was having a,
Or was it, did you feel it was unfair? People are leaving the trolleys and the company's getting screwed over, so you need to go fix the issue.
Well,
I'm going to hunt you down.
That's all you're Mario for. Yeah.
Mario's
with a statement of claim, no.
Yeah.
I guess I was at school in year 10, and my teacher said to me, what do you want to do? Like, and he went around the classes and just said, you know, and I said, oh, I want to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then he said, nah, that's going to be too hard for
you.
Oh,
really?
That's And you know, it's going to take you X amount of years. And then, I don't know, I guess whenever someone says something's going to be too hard, I put my mind to it.
What's the most difficult in studying the law?
It's not the most difficult subjects,
the most difficult? Like, because it's, you know, the law, it'll look fancy on TV, right? But it's a lot of reading.
Yes, but you got to understand that what you study at uni is nothing like when you get out there in the real world. So you study the basics, what gives you the groundwork, or I guess the privilege of getting that certificate, and then the privilege of applying to become a lawyer, but on the groundwork, no, it's a lot different. So,
it's a lot different.
Okay, so you understand, okay, contract law, you know, an agreement between two parties, yada, yada, yada. And that's what you study in the books.
Yes.
But then there's a whole lot more in the real world. And once you start to get to litigation, the forms and the paperwork and how it needs to be set, how it needs to be drafted, all that you don't really learn
in
law school. No, you just learn what's in the textbook, a scenario, you answer some questions in the exam, and that's really,
you know,
about
the remind me, do you remember that movie Horrible Bosses? Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it.
I need to watch it. And they put them, you know, there was a like they detained them, and the guy, he start talking, and then released them, right? And some of the boys says, how do you know the law? He said, watch TV, right? So what do people, you know, what do you think when the people, exactly, like, you know, you're already nodding your head.
Again.
What is the perception when people come to you? It's like, oh, I know what I need to do. That's the law, you know what I mean? Because if it's so easy, everyone will do it, you know?
We've always, even at law school, there's people, what they think the law is or what they think the law should be is not always what the law is.
What the law is, yes.
So some people will have a perception that this is the way it should be because they've watched They've watched Boston Legal or or some guy. and believe me,
the law is in flamingo suits. Yes.
It is. It is not flashy like that, and we don't get that privilege of doing that theater acts in court. We are very restricted on how we address the court, how we stand, what we say. It's nothing like truth.
Which I didn't know, like, you know, I come from the barbaric country, it's Croatia, right? And it's different. And I remember my very first appearance in court as a witness, you know, I just walked in and you know, I just says to me, it's like, did you forget something? It's like, I brought all my paperwork, you know, you need to, you know, salute the crown, whatever it's called, this, you know, the great, what it's called, the bow, yeah. I didn't know this, you know, because I know the culture. So he returned me three times out and he says eventually, it's like, okay, someone's going to explain to you later, just sit and go there, right? Because they know what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, that's, but see, this is respect, you know, I mean, which in European countries, there's no like this, you know, when magister comes, everybody stand up, you know, he sits, you know, everybody sits, that's it, right? You know, I mean, there's no the bowing and all these things. It's a much more different behavior in Australia. And as you say, like, it's not the flamingo suits, Matt. What do you say?
The flamingo suits from Boston Legal.
Yeah, because everybody, like, you know, like, Boston Legal say. So, Matt, you know, you moved from the IBM. You done the project for Dutch Distillery. And then how did you ended up with the Bill Gates having the lunch?
So that's quite a long story. Yes. as usual with me, I always take this detour.
Yes.
So I did have a knack for selling computers, but that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a box mover in a retail. I had a job doing inside sales for a very large box mover. They were just selling to the retail organizations. And it's literally, you needed to do so much per day, right? That's your goal, and come hell or high water, that's what you're going to do. I was having two areas to watch. A new area, which was 17% when I took it, and 40% when I actually left the organization 2 months later. And I had another area of someone that left and said, oh, Matt, you just take care of it. And I was running that at 120% of target. But because that area was not mine, they said, well, you're not going to get any bonus. And I go like, well, you know what? You're not going to get me. I left, right? And I ended up selling the CRM precursor, which was called Sales Activity Management. So we're talking mid-90s. So CRM, the whole acronym, hasn't been invented yet.
I didn't know the computer existed.
We had computers.
Y2K.
And it was actually brilliant. It was developed by someone who was absolutely brilliant. And he developed it in a language that could run natively on Windows as well as Macintosh. Mm. So we owned the pre-press market. So all the people that are designing the visual designs, not for websites, we're talking mid-90s, so actual physical flyers, right? Then it goes to the printing. They could use the same database as the salespeople that were running Windows. And we're talking Windows 95 at that time, right? So so we owned that. I had then an opportunity to go to Saudi Arabia. And that's where I ended up into hydraulics industry doing process management. And by the way, oh, you understand computer? Can you implement our ERP further for us as well? With enterprise resource planning, which is a big monolithic software package that does everything you can dream of. So no risk there, right? Learned so much over there. I mean, I was still very young when I had that opportunity. I was so lucky because if you're more experienced and you have a family, you don't want to live in Saudi Arabia.
That's for sure.
Right? So they only get those young people.
Yeah.
And have no experience, but hey, you know what? We can't fail. We're young. We don't see any risks.
Yeah.
So I had this tremendous opportunity to learn so much over there. And coming back to the Netherlands, I actually found my wife in Saudi Arabia. She's from the Philippines. She moved over to the Netherlands after we got married. She learned Dutch within the first 3 months, which is amazing because it took me my first 4 years to learn the language. So she's actually smarter than I am.
I'm still learning English after 22 years in Australia.
But we needed to move to an English-speaking country because she couldn't work at her level. She's a very experienced nurse. And if you can't understand the doctor fast enough, that's, you know, she found that that's just not good. So we moved to New Zealand, worked there for CGNZ, which was acquired by HP. And then I got a call from Microsoft, do you want to work with us in Australia, start up our ERP services business? And that's how I ended up there and did that for 10 years, first in Australia. And then the last 7 years, I did it for Asia. I ran a practice over there. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. Well. So we have all this 5G now network inside of us thanks to the new
We're all hyper-connected.
It's conspiracy. We'll take a short break. You're listening to Business Insights with Matt and Marion, our guest inside the studio, Kamala. Matt, continue conversation with us about their businesses and experiences. Stay tuned. You'll be glad you did it.
in the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
Ever have that sinking feeling that you forgot to get the gas bottle filled for the barbecue or outdoor heater? Do you worry about transporting a gas bottle in the boot of your car? Kangaroo Gas has got you covered. Kangaroo Gas will deliver 8.5 kilogram gas bottles to your home or business. Call 0405 LPG LPG or go to kangaroogas.com.au. That's 0405 LPG LPG online at kangaroogas.com.au or find them on Facebook. Station sponsor.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
You're listening to the sound of Alive 90.5.
Everybody loves somebody. I know you're not just anybody. Butterflies when you touch my body. Let you know, baby, show me, show me.
Been here before, you like the fall, you hit my door, you're falling short, yeah. Easy, squeezy, flip 180 degrees. Cause everybody loves somebody, ooh, but I know you're not anybody, ooh, butterflies when you touch my body, ooh, let your love, baby, shine me It's on my lips, hands on grip, when you want this, when you want this, baby, it's easy. Squeeze it,
90.5.
12 minutes to one here on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Matt and Mario, hosting the show on Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5. In studio with Kamal Boutros and Matt Koopman. Kamal, so you work in all kinds of law.
A few kinds of law.
I was thinking there's only one law, but it's okay.
Areas of law. Areas of law.
Yeah. That's a better.
That's the word. So you have only a few you mentioned?
Well, property, commercial, immigration.
Criminal.
And family law as well. Yeah, so that's mainly the areas that I get. There's a lot of inquiries in and working.
Working in law, now this is just out of my sheer curiosity, you must meet some interesting personalities.
Very.
That come through your door.
Not just through my door, on the other side.
Oh, true, yeah.
As well, whether it's the other lawyers or the other clients as well.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting.
But your practice, like, you know, sorry, I should not put that way. I say again, I'm an amateur, I know nothing about law, and I don't know how the law functions. So I say, like, in practice, you don't just, sorry, as a lawyer, you don't go on a court, you know what I mean? It's a lot of work as a lawyer doing, even, you know what I mean, without going to court, right? Discussing with other law firms and negotiating, what's it called,
out-of-court settlements.
That's the word.
Yeah, so look, like I said before, about taking the emotion out of the equation, or taking the emotion out of, you know, sometimes a client would come and my suggestion would be, well, have you thought about trying to settle this? So if the client is chasing $20,000,
yeah,
and he's going to spend $5,000 to $7,000 on legal fees to try and get that, well, how about if you get 18 or 16, and you know, pay minimum costs and then walk away and just learn for next time not to, you know, do the same mistake or enter the same transaction again. So that would be my suggestion, and then we would try and settle it. And not just for small amounts, sometimes for bigger amounts or family law, we try and settle matters outside court because it takes years and years.
It almost, like, makes more sense in like, just logically speaking.
Yeah,
and it always comes back to what you were saying earlier, Matt, how, you know, you have all these people and they have like 100,000 followers or whatever, yet they don't really have any business going, and they it's like,
can I ask you a question about Matt, you know, Matt Caruana, my partner in crime, what do you think about followers? What do you think the followers represents?
Well, these days it can represent anything because people can buy them now. Although, what do I think it represents? It's people that are engaged with your content for good or bad, or
yeah, but you have the hundreds of followers, you're going to schools regularly talking to apprentice suicide, so, you know what I mean, there's not a glorifying influences. But back to the Matt question you asked, just that's a very interesting observation. Matt influences.
So, wait, sorry,
go ahead.
No,
okay. Okay, let's go mediate here. We have the Kamal here. So, like, the question was, Matt Koopman,
sorry for the lawyer involved.
So, the question is about influences,
yeah. It comes down to, again, what do you try to influence? Is that the end goal, or is that just a means to get somewhere? Now, if your end goal is, I want to be an influencer, fantastic, go knock yourself out. But I would not quit my day job, because people being influenced don't necessarily buy something from you, right? In the end, buying something from you means that someone gives you the trust to exchange for their hard-earned money, give them value. That's what the transaction is. So if you're an influencer, and a lot of influencers go and they say, well, I'm an influencer, I'm going to teach you how to be an influencer. Okay, so we got two influencers. Now, who is now going to part with their money to get the down? Because that seems like a pyramid scheme, right? It's like, there's an influencer at the top, trains more influencers, they train more influencers. Down at the bottom, someone actually needs to make money to pay all these influencers.
But do you think, Matt, you know, like, sorry to interrupt you, my Matt Caruana to Matt Koopman, do you think that influencers actually doing the wrong thing. Like when I was growing up, you know, and every time I was go for the job interview, and all these things, like you need to look representable, you know what I mean, to be even considered for the job, right? Mm-hmm. And I was lucky, I was in military for 15 years and, you know, in diplomacy. It's like I was always being sort of regimental and dressed nice and, you know, nice uniform and all these things. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at my son, right? He's 19 years old, studying medicine. He looks like somebody who is on a poster, you know what I mean? Don't come close to the school, right? A bit. He proved that, you know, the Hugh Hefner, he's living in him. He's in a robe all day. But he's a good boy. But seriously, like when you see him, he's like Jesus. He's like, you know, he's my child, you know what I mean? I love him to the death. But, you know, I said to him, it's like, so when you go on university with that beard and, you know, that hair and the colorful shirts, you know, how do you feel? He said, what do you mean? I said, like, well, aren't you going to be the doctor you know, want to be? He said, yes, so. And I was like, okay. But he's been influenced by that new age, sort of, what's it called, this generation Y, Z, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I think we're in generation Z.
Yeah, and then they're like, you know, but look at Matt Caruana, like, you know what I mean? He's always dressed nice, you know what I mean? He's never, you know, like looking like a, you know, like my son, right? But, you know, again, I love my son. I can talk about him. So, but the thing is, I said to him, what is he influencing you? He said, like, what do you mean influence me? See, he doesn't see that me social media, you and I see maybe Kamal, you know, because he's dressed as a Hugh Hefner, you know what I mean? He's behind the computer all day, you know, no wash hair, beard growing like this big. And he said, like, what do you mean what I'm influenced with? I said, like, well, I remember my generation studying the medicine, you know, not me, but, you know, some of my peers from the high school. They've all been immaculately dressed. So, like, how that influence is actually influencing us?
Well, I can tell you two things.
Yes.
So, obviously, we are all influenced by someone.
Yeah.
Right? And if it's not from the social media, you're influenced by your parents. You're influenced by people you look up to. The second thing I'm going to tell you is let kids be kids. Right? You wouldn't want to see me when I was in high school. Long hair, bleached jeans.
Yeah. Because you're from the
rock star.
You're from the Netherlands, right? I can imagine Kamal as well. And I mean, the little rebel with the trolleys around chasing the people.
And the bands I followed, long hair. Actually, they cut their hair now as well. Yeah. And so it's. I was a huge Metallica fan in the 1980s. And I've seen
I can't imagine.
I'm still a Metallica fan. I've seen the last concert I saw of them was in Shanghai in 2017. You always take influence from people, but the older you get, the less that influence becoming visual and more of behavioral, right? So if you look at things in attitude wise, because that comes when you're young, you don't know, at least from my experience when I was younger, you look at like, oh, this is how they look, that's important to me, I need to have these sneakers, I need to have this, I want to have my hair like that, I want to have this, and blah blah blah. It's all external focus because you're still forming your personality. When you get older, you get the opportunity to actually work with people that mentor you. And what you'll find is actually that the exterior is a lot less important than the interior. So for instance, I was doing a consulting job for a company that was a family-owned business that had 16,000 people working for them. The owner and CEO was driving in a 20, 30-year-old Mercedes, and you wouldn't give him 2 cents. Right, but he was the owner, right? So it's not exterior, but my God, that person has it nailed, right? They really start a company from scratch. So
can I ask you, Kamal, one question? This is like a literally, you know, this is not a joke or something, but when you're speaking of influencing, is it that sort of like happening in a court that you've been asked who's been you be influenced with? Let's say if I hack the computers, for example, right? And you know, and you ask me or DPP, whatever magistrates, like, have you been influenced with somebody? Is that a question? Is that something I can say? Like, I don't know, hacking computers because I saw Matt Caruana hacking computers. I'm influenced by him.
Look, I think
that's a serious question. Like, because you know, like, because you're talking about influencing behavioral and the physical. What you say, you know. And now, if it's behavioral, I can copy somebody to be like yourself. I want to be the lawyer.
In I guess from what you're saying, in a courtroom it's a bit different, and it depending on what side you're in. So if you're trying to for instance mitigate, so you know, this, if you're talking about criminal cases, there's the accused has got two choices: either they plead guilty, or well, that's the main two areas, or they say not guilty.
Yeah.
So if they plead guilty, the defence will try and mitigate.
Yeah.
So there might be instances where, well, look, they've been influenced. If it's a domestic violence, you know, it might be as a child he was abused, so he got this behaviour, and he's remorseful. Or there might be some influences there, but generally speaking, you don't really get.
So I can bring the Twitter account from the Matt Caruana on the quarter, so I'm influenced by him.
This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. We're here to take you on a short break to the hour. We'll have the news, and then we'll be back with both Kamal Boutros and also Matt Koopman. We'll see you guys soon.
Alive 90.5.
Hello, I'm Sam Amone and Director of Cherrybrook Real Estate, the specialist in residential management. Call us on 9980 9860. We pride ourselves on taking the stress out of property management, looking after you and your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, call me, Sam Mamone from Cherrybrook Real Estate, 9980 9860.
Station sponsor.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Jack. What's your name?
Sam.
Ah, Sam, nice. Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from
Blacktown. Blacktown. Woo! Blacktown. Blacktown. Oh, Blacktown City, we love you.
Blacktown. Blacktown.
Oh, yeah? Don't think I've ever been.
Show your support and show up. Blacktown City FC. Your team.